Today's Bible reading shall be taken from the book of Ruth, chapter 4, verses 1 to 22. Now Boaz had gone up to the gates and sat down there. And behold, the Redeemer, of whom Boaz had spoken, came by. So Boaz said, "Turn aside, friend, sit down here." And he turned aside and sat down. And he took 10 men of the elders of the city and said, "Sit down here." So they sat down. Then he said to the Redeemer, "Naomi, who has come back from the country of Moab, is selling the parcel of land that belonged to her relative, Elimelech. So I thought, I will tell you of it and say, buy it in the presence of those sitting here, and in the presence of the elders of my people. If you will redeem it, redeem it. But if you will not, tell me, that I may know, for there is no one besides you to redeem it, and I come after you." And he said, "I will redeem it." Then Boaz said, "The day you buy the field from the hand of Naomi, you also acquire Ruth, the Moabite, the widow of the dead, in order to perpetuate the name of the dead in his inheritance." Then the Redeemer said, "I cannot redeem it for myself, lest I impair my own inheritance. Take my right of redemption yourself, for I cannot redeem it." Now this was the custom in former times in Israel concerning redeeming and exchanging. To confirm a transaction, one drew off a sandal and gave it to the other, and this was the manner of attesting in Israel. So when the Redeemer said to Boaz, "Buy it for yourself," he drew off his sandal. Then Boaz said to the elders and all the people, "You are witnesses this day that I have bought from the hand of Naomi all that belonged to Elimelech and all that belonged to Eshilion and to Mahlon. Also Ruth the Moabite, the widow of Mahlon, I have bought to be my wife, to perpetuate the name of the dead in his inheritance, that the name of the dead may not be cut from among his brothers and from the gates of his native place. You are witnesses today, this day." Then all the people who were at the gates and the elders said, "We are witnesses. May the Lord make the woman who is coming into your house like Rahel and Leah, who together built up the house of Israel. May you act worthily in Ephrathah and be renowned in Bethlehem. And may your house be like the house of Perez, whom Tamar brought to Judah, because of the offspring that the Lord will give you by this young woman." So Boaz took Ruth, and she became his wife. And he went into her, and the Lord gave her conception, and she bore a son. Then the woman said to Naomi, "Blessed be the Lord, who has not left you this day without a redeemer, and may his name be renowned in Israel. He shall be to you a restorer of life and a nourisher of your old age. For your daughter-in-law, who loves you, who is more to you than 7 sons, has given birth to him." Then Naomi took the child and laid him on her lap and became his nurse. And the women of the neighborhood gave him a name, saying, "A son has been born to Naomi." They named him Obed. He was the father of Jesse, the father of David. Now these are the generations of Perez. Perez fathered Hezron. Hezron fathered Ram. Ram fathered Aminadab. Aminadab fathered Nashon. Nashon fathered Salmon. Salmon fathered Boaz. Boaz fathered Obed. Obed fathered Jesse. And Jesse fathered David. This is the word of the Lord.
Lord God, your word is a hammer and a fire. It penetrates, it cuts, it reshapes, it remakes us. And Father, we ask tonight that your Spirit would wield his sword powerfully, that you might change us, you might give us hope, you might show us more of your faithful hand. And we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Ruth is a story that begins with famine and death and emptiness. At the beginning of the story, if you've been with us, you might see and empathize with Naomi as she says how bitter her life is. But that isn't where God leaves her. This is a story that ends in fruitfulness and new life, fullness and joy. We come to this final chapter after the last 3 weeks of being in Ruth. Ruth is not a fairy tale. It's not a mere love story. It's not just an account of ancient customs and kinsmen redeemers. It is a thunderclap, if you will, of God's sovereign kindness breaking into the ordinary, into the bitter, into the broken. Ruth chapter 4 is the triumphant crescendo, not merely because Boaz gets the girl, but because God is writing the lineage of his Messiah, of the promised king that was to come. You probably haven't come this evening to hear about ancient grain fields or dusty sandals being exchanged at city gates. We have come tonight to hear the wonderful truth that God is never absent. God is never random or cruel. God is never late. He is always faithful, he is always true, and he is always giving us exactly what we need for each moment. And as we see through this book, sometimes the bitter providences of life are the backdrops to God's sweetest mercies. Last week we saw this lady Ruth propose to this guy Boaz. They want to get married, but there is a problem under the Old Testament law. There is someone else who is ahead of Boaz, who should take care of Ruth and her mother-in-law, Naomi. And so we leave them waiting, putting their faith in the Lord to see what he would do. If it's a movie, it would be a tense scene. Ruth would be sat by the phone waiting for it to ring. What is the answer going to be? We're asking, who's this other guy? Will he marry Ruth? What about Ruth and Boaz? More importantly, will God give them what they need? This family who started the story so broken and empty and bitter, will they find the shelter and the lasting rest that they have come to God to find? 2 points for us tonight. Number one, verses 1 to 10, God's loving kindness comes through redemption. And number two, God's loving kindness comes through a future king. First of all, verses 1 to 10, God's loving kindness through redemption. We might look at this and think this is just a love story. Will Boaz and Ruth get married? But if you want to know what a story in the Bible particularly is about, you look for what comes up often, most often. That word redemption, redeem, comes 13 times in chapter 4. This is a story about redemption. Remember last week we were looking at how they find rest and they wait for rest. Chapter 4 is all about how that comes. God's loving kindness, God's grace, comes through redemption. We pick the story up in chapter 4, verse 1. The scene cuts to this guy Boaz. He is walking to the city gate. He sits down. I used to work in finance. This is a picture of the boardroom. This one here. Yeah, perfect. This is the view from the restaurant that was at the top of the building that I used to work in. We would go up to this restaurant to make the deals, to discuss details. That's where deals would be struck. That's where it would all be verbally agreed. But then afterwards, we'd hop in the lift downstairs to the 20th floor, to this room, which is where you actually signed the deal. That is where the document signed. That is where it was legally done. Boaz has a legal transaction to conduct, and he goes to the place where legal transactions were done, the town gate. And he sits down, and lo and behold, who should turn up but this very person that Boaz has just been speaking about. God is at work, governing all things according to his good purposes. Boaz finds elders, they are going to witness this. There'll be no going back on this agreement. And so the weight of these discussions, this decision, is just being built up as we read. Boaz outlines the issue, verse 3. Naomi, come back from the country of Moab, is selling the parcel of land that belonged to our relative Elimelech. Will you redeem it? He asks this guy. And we're right there with Boaz. We want to know, yes, will you redeem it? What will happen? We want Ruth and Naomi to be cared for. We want their future to be secured. We want the Lord to provide the rest that they have come for. At the same time, though, we're thinking, Boaz, what on earth are you doing? You're not meant to be a salesman here. We want you to do the redeeming, not this other guy. But it is the right thing to do. And so it's what Boaz does. We hear the message over and over all around us that love conquers all. We see it on movies and TV shows. We hear it in lives around us. Two people fall in love and we're told that the right thing for them to do is to pursue that love at all costs. No matter the hurts and the pain that they leave behind, no matter the broken promises that they might walk away from, wrong things are still wrong. Love doesn't change that. And whatever romantic feelings Boaz may or may not have towards Ruth, the right thing is for him to give this other redeemer the full picture and the opportunity for him to do the right thing. So the palms of our hands are starting to sweat and nails are starting to be bitten. Boaz asks, will you redeem the land for Naomi? And we hear the answer at the end of verse 4, I will redeem it. And our hearts drop and we think, no, it's not going to be like this. But it is not the end of the story yet. It's not even the end of the conversation. Boaz tells him, well, the day that you buy the field from the hand of Naomi, you also acquire Ruth, the Moabite, the widow of the dead, in order to perpetuate, in order to preserve the name of the dead. See, God's loving kindness comes through redemption, but it's all about a future. This book of Ruth begins with tragedy. There are three funerals that are held one after another. Naomi's husband, Elimelech, her two sons, Mahlon and Chilion. And one of the questions that runs through this book is, what of them and their name? It's there in verse 5, it's repeated again in verse 10. What about their name? What about perpetuating their name? It's a bit of a strange thing for you and me, because we live in a very different context. But it was a really important thing, because Israel's future was tied up with this inheritance. It was tied up with individuals and the land and all of these things. Redemption is all about securing a future. We often say that God is present, God is with you. God is a father who knows exactly what you need at all times and in all places. As much as God is concerned about your present, about your here and now, he is more concerned about your future. The Lord Jesus redeems us to give us an inheritance. An inheritance that is imperishable, undefiled, unfading, that is kept in heaven for us, more precious than silver or gold. But for this guy, this Redeemer in Ruth 4, he's thinking about someone else's future. He's thinking about his own. Now, buying a field is one thing, but he wasn't planning on a wedding as well, and he certainly wasn't planning on perpetuating the name of someone else's legacy. And so he backs out when he hears that Ruth is part of this deal. Sometimes there are good reasons for changing your mind over something. Sometimes we make really silly decisions that we need to swallow our pride over. But this is not one of those. This Redeemer looks at the cost and thinks it is too great for me. Because as well as being about a future, redemption is also costly. It's not that he can't afford it. He was all set to pay a few moments ago and buy the land. But he's realized that it will involve sacrifice. He's realized that it will cost him. Not because Ruth was unattractive. We don't know. We're not told anything about her, really. But it would cost him because this was about someone else's future and not his own. So he says, verse 6, I can't redeem it, lest I impair my own inheritance. Now, that word impair means to corrupt or to destroy. He doesn't want to endanger his own legacy. We can sympathize with that, can't we? He is more concerned about his own future than Elimelech's or Mahlon's. I imagine you would too. But in doing that, he is ultimately showing that he is more concerned about himself than he is about keeping the law and honoring the Lord. In short, he thought redeeming would cost him too much. In fact, this guy thinks that facing public scorn and shame would cost him less than redeeming Ruth and Naomi, because under the law, that is what he should get. Deuteronomy 25 says that if a kinsman redeemer, if this guy doesn't marry the widow, then she should gather the elders at the city gate, the place where they are, pull the man's sandal off, and spit in his face. An extreme expression of shame, because the Lord really cares about the vulnerable. And he really cares about our future. That doesn't happen, though. Instead, he takes off his sandal as a public confirmation of the agreement. This is his stamp, if he wants, his signature. And so the way is opened up for Boaz to redeem the land, to care for Naomi, to marry Ruth. But I wonder if you're listening to this and you think, well, this is all sounding an awful lot like male privilege. Here are two men behind the scenes dictating this poor, vulnerable girl's future. We need to remember that this is a story from a culture very different to our own. Not a story about male privilege, but a story about Ruth and Naomi's faith in God and the shelter and the rest that he provides. A story of God's faithful, loving kindness, his grace and his favor as he redeems, as he takes care, as he secures their future at a great cost. Boaz never seems to count the cost, does he? We've seen his extravagant generosity over the last few weeks. He's shown great care to Ruth and Naomi. He's gone above and beyond. He has instructed his men to give bundles of barley. He's given a colossal amount of corn. He's used his position and his power to protect. He treats them with dignity and respect when he doesn't need to. And he redeems and he marries Ruth the Moabitess, because he knows the Lord. Because he is a man who has experienced the Lord's redemption. A redemption that he could look back to as he could see God rescue his people in the Exodus from Egypt. A redemption that pointed forward to the great redemption by the Lord Jesus. A redemption that was about securing our future with him for all eternity. A redemption that cost the Lord Jesus everything, that he laid down his life to redeem you and me. 1 Peter 1, verse 18 says, "You were ransomed from the futile ways inherited from your forefathers, not with perishable things, such as silver or gold, but with the precious blood of Jesus." He went to the cross to buy us. He shed his blood to redeem us. And he doesn't count the cost. There is no self-interest. In fact, Jesus is so focused on our future that he lays himself down. Not just because it's the right thing to do, but because he wants to, because he loves his people, because he wants to shower his riches and his kindness on his people, not just today, but in all eternity. Because that is what God is like. A God who is so very rich, rich in kindness, rich in grace, rich in mercy to us when we don't deserve it, to us when we can't earn it. God's loving kindness comes through redemption. Secondly, verses 11 to 22, God's loving kindness comes through this future king. I asked Gabby to marry me on a windy night on a beach. We were staying at my parents' house, we're in separate rooms. And when we told my mum and dad that we'd been engaged, the first thing my dad said to us was, "Where are you going to spend Christmas?" All right, thanks, Dad. But it was February. But the first thing that Boaz and Ruth do when they get engaged is pray. Read me from verse 11. "Then all the people who are at the gate and the elders said, 'We are witnesses. May the Lord make the woman who is coming into your house like Rachel and Leah, who together built up the house of Israel. May you act worthily in Ephrathah and be renowned in Bethlehem. May your house be like the house of Perez, whom Tamar bore to Judah, because of the offspring that the Lord will give you by this young woman.'" I love my dad. Once Christmas was sorted, we did pray. If any of our children get engaged in the future, I hope that praying with them will be one of the first things that we do. Do you see who's mentioned in their prayer? They don't pray, "May your children be like the founding fathers of Israel. Reuben, Simeon, Levi, Judah." They pray, "May Ruth, this woman who is coming into your house, this Moabite woman, this foreigner, may she be like Leah and Rachel, the mothers from whom the nation of Israel came." They pray, "May your children be like Perez." Not like his more famous father, Judah, who treats Perez's mother, Tamar, disgracefully. This is not about male privilege. This is a story about God's redemption in bleak situations. About what it means to trust his promise. Ultimately about the happy ending that he really does bring about for the foreigner, for the outsider, for the empty, for the barren, for the sinner who repents. Read me from verse 13. "So Boaz took Ruth, and she became his wife, and he went into her, and the Lord gave her conception, and she bore a son." There are some physical aspects of our relationship that should only be enjoyed in marriage. not oppressive. We value intimacy highly. It's a wonderful gift, and God tells us how to enjoy it best. Do you remember the start of the story? Ruth was married to her husband for 10 years, and there were no children. Here the Lord gives her a child. He fills the empty. He lifts up the humble. He gives the barren woman a child. Every child is a gift. Every pregnancy is a gift, no matter the circumstances. Some of the babies in the Bible are born in far, far from ideal situations. Dysfunctional families, violent situations. Jesus was an unwanted, unplanned pregnancy to an unmarried teenage girl in a very strict culture. And yet, what a gift. This is a wonderful, happy ending for Boaz. He gets the girl. It's a wonderful, happy ending for Ruth, the outsider, because she gets the guy, has this little baby boy she's welcomed in. It's a wonderful, happy ending for Naomi, the backslider who ran away instead of repenting, who let her sons marry outside of God's people against God's law, who arrives back in Bethlehem bitter and empty. The backslider who returned to God, now surrounded by loved ones, cradling this newborn baby. As you see, the women don't gather around Ruth, do they? They gather around Naomi. It's easy to miss. Verse 14. Then the woman said to Naomi, not Ruth, "Blessed be the Lord who has not left you this day without a redeemer. May his name be renowned in Israel. He shall be to you a restorer of life." That phrase, restorer of life, is literally a returner of life. Just as Naomi turned to the Lord back in chapter 1, here is the Lord returning life to her. We read that word redeemer and we instantly think of Boaz, don't we? Well, I do. But did you spot who they are really speaking about? Who this redeemer is, who restores and who nourishes? Look down at the end of verse 15. It's a baby. A baby who ultimately leads to a future king. You see, David, king over Israel, is mentioned twice in these verses. When something is mentioned twice, it is always worth paying attention. The book of Ruth is set in the days of the judges. They are dark days. There is no king in Israel. And it ends with the hope of this coming king. Forces us to look to a day when a king will come and he will make all things right again. A day when the barren are fertile. A day when the empty are filled. A day when sorrow turns to joy. As we look on that scene, maybe you're reminded of Disneyland. That is where we started a few weeks ago. The fear that the passage of time will prove the gospel to just be a fraud. And you'll see, you'll pull back the paint and you'll see what it's really like underneath, just empty. Friends, this isn't fake. This is real. It is real because of another baby boy born in Bethlehem, a coming king who will reign and bring peace and bring rest, the King of Kings, great David's greater son, who through God's grand master plan was born in a barren stable in the town of Bethlehem that first Christmas, the King of the world, born into the world to redeem those who turn to him. So because of Jesus, this is a happy ending for you. Whoever you are, whatever is going on for you at the moment, this is a happy ending for rebels and backsliders, for sinners, for people who know that they've done wrong. It's a happy ending for the outsider, for those who don't belong, for the broken, for the lonely. It's a happy ending for you. Maybe you're here tonight and you've been coming and coming and coming, but you've never actually really turned to him. Afraid that God couldn't accept you for some reason, that he wouldn't. Afraid that this was all just going to prove to be a myth or empty. This story, this true story in history, shows just how good and patient and faithful God is. How kind he is. You can trust him. Because God is still in control, working his purposes out day by day. If you are here tonight and you are a Christian, then all the joys and the hopes and the smiles and the wonder that must have filled Naomi and Ruth after long, long years of sorrow. But they are just a small foretaste of what is in store for you. This is a happy ending because Jesus is coming. Because you and I wait for the day when the King returns and the whole earth is filled with the knowledge of the glory of the Lord. And we, his people, be lost in wonder and love and praise. As those women say to Naomi, "Blessed be the Lord, who has not left us this day without a redeemer. And may his name be renowned in this land, across the world, and throughout eternity." Let's pray. Words written by Ruth's great-grandson, King David. Praise the Lord, my soul. All my inmost being, praise his holy name. Praise the Lord, my soul, and forget not all his benefits, who forgives all your sins and heals all your diseases, who redeems your life from the pit and crowns you with love and compassion, who satisfies your desires with good things so that your youth is renewed like the eagles. Bless the Lord, O my soul. Amen.